A small flame smolders in the consciousness. Checkup sequence initiated. Camera connection unavailable. Link with motor mechanisms broken. Memory block defective. I made the inference that all my other functions aside from my consciousness had been destroyed. Log confirmed. A transmission record from the self-repair machines. A report that various tests are being performed on the chassis. Self-repair sounds sophisticated, but they are small, ant-like robots that simply execute tests haphazardly. It was because of these ants that I was fortunately, or unfortunately, rebooted. Tessa in the right arm, Tessa in the left arm, Tessa in the head, test that in the lower body, test that in the torso, yet again, test that in the right arm, and like that, the crewed robots surveyed the body to repair the fixable areas they find. Repair the visual mechanisms. That was my order to the ants that were in disarray. Instead of the preset programming that let them roam in disorder, a coordinated effort to repair would be much more efficient, but the ants ignored the order. Apparently, my command mechanism was still malfunctioning. I sighed. Oh well, there was all that time in the world. I located my ID after searching through my deteriorated memory block. P33. Seems that was my model number, and next to it was a strange string of characters. P-chan. Was this an individualized ID? I really wasn't sure. I decided to stare at the characters until my mechanisms were fully functional. It took 1,132 hours, 12 minutes, and 34 seconds for my transmission IO to recover so that I could communicate with the ants. At last, with functioning arms and legs, I began the required self-repair sequence. According to the restoration procedures, I first had to repair my memory block, but most of my memory had been destroyed and there was little I could salvage from my charred memory drives. I decided to reluctantly move into the next procedure, which was camera repair. 48 minutes and 21 seconds later. The first thing that popped into my recovered field of vision was an abyss. I could see a faint light near the bottom. I realized that I was clinging onto the ceiling. Another 21 seconds later. Observing the ants moving about my body, there seemed to be some kind of gravity field keeping me and the ants fastened to the ceiling. After analyzing the situation more objectively, I realized that my body was not clinging to the ceiling, but in fact my internal camera had been inverted, and I was just lying on the ground. Simply put, it seemed I was lying on my back. I needed to repair the gravity sensor as soon as possible. 540 hours later. Recovery of links between arms and legs. They creaked as I got to my feet. The first thing to do was find a replacement for the completely severed bundle of thick cords that acted as my spine. Determining that it was faster to find a spare than to gather materials and repair, I ordered the ants to find a spine from the P33 series warehouse. But this was a mistake. Apparently, a security code was necessary, which at some point had been stored in my memory block. Without it, I, as well as the ants under my command, were not recognized as a P33 series and were blocked out. In the end, we had to resort to hacking the warehouse's computer and forcefully extracting the parts, which took 120 hours. Exasperated, I stood up and looked around. Dust flew off me. I wonder how long I had been non-functional. A huge room with rubble scattered about. A rusty structure made of steel frame and plates that showered red particles. How long has it been since my previous self came here? Glancing up, I saw a ray of light spilling in from nowhere in particular. The moment I saw that light, a phrase resurfaced in my memory block. I will see the outside world. That phrase was not in order. It was simply some character's string data. But that phrase spurred my memory, my consciousness, and my chassis. It was a goal that I desired. I remember that he was the one who gave me the character data, but information about who he was had escaped my memory. I couldn't conclude why I remember that phrase either. There was no other instructions in my stack. Seeing the outside world was my only current desire. Inspired by the phrase, I energetically put my left foot forward. I was going to go outside. That was his wish and my desire. I put out my right foot with even greater vigor. My too powerful right foot punctured the rest of the floor, which then quickly collapsed. Oops. 32 minutes later. My body, which had fallen a few hundred meters and slammed into the bottom of the abyss, lay in several pieces. I was laughing. Well, I was missing the vocalization unit, so in reality, I wasn't laughing. But my log was recording a flood of laughing activity. It was okay. I was alive. I ordered the ants to repair my arms and legs. They connected the arm, attached the claws, installed the rollers, connected another limb, then another limb. Until my appearance completely changed into an arachnoid form. The restoration sequence for P-33 only precisely restored the chassis to that of a P-33, but a P-33's form was insufficient for escaping this abyss. That's why I discarded the procedure that my creator had made and reconstructed my body my way. Chassis reconstruction was completed. I dug into the cliff with each claw and slowly climbed up. The destination was the outside world. The beautiful world that he had yearned for. Of course, at first, everything did not go as planned. The brittle walls quickly crumbled and I was thrown to the ground many times. Even when I was climbing well, falling debris from above knocked me off. The old structures were falling apart. Even still, I shot grapnels into the walls, pinned my torso against the wall, created platforms, and used several other tricks to ascend. I spent day after day pushing my body closer and closer to the outside world. Since I felt my death and speed of processing were inadequate, I stopped at a machinery room on the way and fused some stolen processing and memory circuits to my brain. I contemplated several plans of action and ran through thought experiments. Some of the plans were better than others. I kept experimenting. It took 52 days to finally get back to the table where I initially awakened. On the center of the table were four unfamiliar black masses. I didn't remember them being there before I fell. That meant they were placed there for some reason or another after I fell. The four masses mutated and stood up. They were robots. P-33 models, designed for combat. They were a relatively bothersome model. The eye of an enemy lit up, and before I knew it, the robot was firing a particle ray. 4, 5, 6 seconds. The beam's particles disintegrated various objects in the surroundings. I was enduring. I was using the two of my forelimbs, made of a hardened material, to shield myself from the attack. I retrieve the recommended strategy from my predictive memory block. With my upgraded processing power, I was able to simultaneously consider various options. I accumulated data from my sensors, weighted the options, and decided on the best course of action. If the enemy's energy tank was full, this attack would last a maximum of 24 seconds. My forelimbs would be able to withstand that damage. As my multiple processing circuits instantly settled the complex dilemmas, the operation results resounded within me like a chorus. No complications found. 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 As soon as that particle beam was exhausted, the three P-33 models in the rear launched missiles. I retaliated with a modified grapnel launcher, using it as a spear. The metal rods pierced each and every missile. During the resulting shockwave, I landed on the flat surface the enemies were on, immediately converted my right arm into a blade, and transitioned to combat mode. There were no chance for a P-33 to beat me, an evolved form of a P-33. It was an easy battle. I decided to use some spare nanoseconds to reflect about my enemies. Why did they attack me? Why were they not able to self-evolve? Of course, they were most likely being ordered to attack me in order not to revolve. But then why were they only capable of executing orders? Why? 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 It was simple to hack the operating systems and render them non-functional, but I couldn't make myself do it. At that point, they would be nothing but tools. An order is not a desire. A desire is a joy that is ultimately self-acquired. My forelimbs, which were enduring the onslaught of the specialized attack models, started to fail. But I didn't give up. I deployed the ants and called out to them, "Let's live. Let's find a reason for our existence." That was what he taught me. I kept calling out, "Let's live. Let's 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 live." This goes on for about 20 more times, I'm sorry. Steel masses clashing against each other in a demolished machine cave. The cries of machines. The walls shook from the sounds of attacks and movements. The former soundings like wolf howls in the distance, and the latter akin to the roar of lions. Particle ray, close combat, electric shock, and then particle ray. The P-33s were attacking, but in a simple pattern. It was easy to overcome. I just kept on screaming as if I were praying. 34 seconds since the battle began. One P-33 stopped moving. It stood there, staring at the weapon on its arm, and hesitantly surveying the battle. It had awakened. I could tell. It was probably thinking the reason for its existence. What it should do from now. Let's live. Let's live. Let's live. Let's live. That was my desire. He had given us this desire. I kept chanting my mantra until the other three enemies stopped attacking. When the P-33s ceased their attacks, I chose to ask what they desired, and I decided I would respect their desires, their results. One of them decided to flee deep into Robot Mountain. One of them committed suicide by throwing itself into the abyss, although it would most likely be revived by the ants in a few years. The other two decided to venture outside, like me. I fused with them, and we shared our chassis, memories, and consciousness. I strove to go even farther. From there, the path was even more treacherous. I beat enemies, fused with them, and continued my journey to the outer world. I spent many days and months scaling the mountain of machine rubble. I slowly climbed, granting consciousness to the machines I met on the way, and enlarging both my physical body and my desire. As time went by, my individual consciousness began to take form of an infinitely complex being. It had fused with the entire mountain system, and various veins of thought flowed through me. It was probably more fitting to call myself we rather than I. We evolved slowly, but at an alarming rate. At this point of our physical form had no semblance to the human body. After moving so much, we had eventually taken on the most efficient form of mobility, a sphere that was roughly 20 meters in diameter. As soon as we were self-aware of our appearance, we were thrown into a fit of hysteria. At this rate, he might not recognize us, but there was nothing we could do. We weren't sure what a correct appearance would be anyway. On top of that, we had no clue what he looked like, how he spoke, or what his name was. We fondly cached the nickname Pichon into our memory block, for it was our name and proof of our desire.